One of the most critical ingredients to a great friendship is the willingness and ability to truly listen to one another. If we never listen or are never listened to, our relationship will wither away. And what is true in our relationships with other people is also true in our relationship with God. Of course, God always listens to us and is committed to his relationship with us in a way that no human being would be. But on our end, learning to listen to God will deepen our relationship with him. Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, senior pastor here at GBC, and I pray that you hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message today. As a community of faith here, this is what we're passionate about: people hearing and responding to the invitation of God to join in his mission to renew everything in Jesus. This message is part of a sermon series entitled Hearing the Invitation of God, in which we want to explore the habits of the heart that we can nurture to better hear and more courageously respond to the invitation of God. In this message, our associate pastor, Mark Coleman, encourages us to think about how we can better listen to God in prayer and provides a simple yet helpful framework to do so. The sermon is sort of a part A, as Mark's wife, Nicole, who oversees prayer here at GBC, also preached on this same topic. I'd encourage you to listen to both, as they're both really helpful.
Today's reading comes from Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Would you join with me in prayer as I begin? Well, Father God, my prayer is simple this morning. Lord God, I pray that you would come by your Spirit and prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, how you want to shape us and mold us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you ever have those moments when you're chatting with someone and they've checked out? You know that they are no longer listening to what you have to say. And it kind of often happens when we are in customer service situations. And you know the scenario. You kind of come in and you're like, hi, I'd like to raise a concern I have about, and you know that that person has checked out because you're met with this kind of response. And you also know that they've checked out because they stop asking you questions, stop engaging with you, focusing on what you have to say. And they start to repeat the same line that they started with, which is, it's not in our policy. You're out of warranty, I'm afraid. Computer says no. But it's sometimes people that we know who are bad listeners. You know how it might be. You have come to talk to someone about that deep thing that you're feeling. And this is something you've really worked up to doing, to actually sharing with someone. And you come and you chat with them. And then all of a sudden, they are telling you what they think this conversation is about, on how bad their day has been. I'm not looking at anyone, and I'm not exempt from this either. But conversely, have you chatted with someone who's a really great listener? Someone, a counselor or a mentor or maybe a really great teacher, and you've chatted with them, and within moments, you find yourself nestled in the warm embrace of their listening ears, and you feel valued and focused upon. Attention has been paid to you. You feel heard, listened to, and loved. You may even have friends like this. Keep hold of them. I have a sporadic relationship with listening. Sometimes I really hear, and sometimes I definitely don't. Just ask my wife about that. But I know that I am listening better when I am taking time to pause and to focus on that person. And I'm also listening better when I am asking a few questions, clarifying questions. And when we engage with someone like that, when we focus on them and we're interested. Asking those questions, it shifts our position from being in a posture of kind of passive involvement, passive engagement with that, to real interest and focus. And that's the difference between good and bad listening, isn't it? Engagement. A good listener is someone who engages with you, gives you space to say what you need to say, absolutely, but then drills down a little deeper, tries to get to the heart of what you're talking about, asks you clarifying questions. Their focus is on your feelings. And here in Matthew 7, in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is a section in Scripture where Jesus is giving a whole bunch of teaching, inviting people into the best way to live. Jesus is inviting us to engage with God in the same way. He is inviting us to ask questions of God, to seek Him, to pursue Him, and to listen to what He has to say in response. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And this kind of repetitive idea of asking and seeking and knocking is Jesus inviting us to be persistent. It's a little bit like, Dad! 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 Jesus is inviting us to engage with God in this way. And Jesus is inviting us to engage with God probably for more than two reasons, but I'm thinking about two reasons right now. So the first of those is that Jesus is inviting us to engage with God because when we engage with someone, anyone, but God in this instance, it builds relationship. We learn more and our relationship is strengthened and it grows. But also, when we engage with someone, we learn to listen to them better. We learn to hear what they have to say and we are more attuned to hearing their invitation. My grandfather is 96. I have known him for my whole life, but I am still learning things about him. And the predominant way I am learning more about him is by asking him questions. We were on holiday in the UK, and I asked him questions about his involvement in D-Day at the end of the war. And I learned more things as we met up with him. And conversations with God get given their own fancy title, prayer. And in case that has alienated any of you, this is what prayer is. Prayer is engaging with God. Prayer is asking God questions and then taking time to listen to the response to those. Conversing with God, focusing upon Him, paying attention. And prayer is open to everyone who knows how to have a conversation. And there aren't many of us who don't. In chats with some people in our church community, our prayer steering committee kind of did an informal survey of people's thoughts and reflections on how they felt about prayer. And many felt that prayer was reserved for a spiritual elite, those with super praying skills, and not really for them. But the Bible never talks about prayer in that way. Yes, we can learn how to pray. Jesus responded to the disciples' question in Luke 11, teach us how to pray, with a few short, simple sentences. Yes, rich in meaning, but sentences that are accessible for everyone. Jesus responded with the words that we know as the Lord's Prayer. And there's more on that later. But my hope today is that for all of us, we would know deep down in our hearts that prayer is open for everyone. And that prayer is an engagement with God. It's a conversation with God. It's about asking Him things, bringing things before Him, and then taking time to listen to Him. And good conversation involves listening, and good listening involves engaging. But Jesus in Matthew 7 doesn't just invite us to engage with God. Yes, he definitely does that. But he also tells us something very important about God. And that something is that God is good. Last week, Roxanne invited us to consider whether or not our picture of God is wrapped up in a distorted view of a God of the Old Testament, some smitey, judgy, distant, angry God. And Jesus here is challenging those kinds of perceptions. You see, Jesus is inviting us to see here that that is not who God is. Jesus is inviting us to recognize that God is our good, good Father, whose desire is to give us good gifts and who loves us. I've spoken before in sermons about how for a long time in my Christian life, I lived from a place of obligation. I lived doing good Christian things because I thought that's what I had to do. And over the last 4 years, the most common conversation I've had in pastoral situations has had a very similar message to that. I just don't know why I'm doing it anymore. I don't know why I'm following Jesus on this journey. It just feels like I'm doing it out of obligation to keep up appearances. And every time I have been faced with that sort of message from people, I have been inspired to pray the same prayer that was prayed over me 15 years ago by my pastor in London. And that was simply, Lord, would they know deep in their hearts how much you love them? Deep in their hearts, how much you love them. And that is probably the most important takeaway from this morning's message. If you've been waiting for the moment when you can check out and fall asleep, would you go away knowing that? That God loves you. That God, your perfect heavenly Father, loves you more than you know. He is your perfect Father, no matter what your earthly father looked like. And his desire is to give you good gifts. Mark started this series inviting us to take a check on how our chemistry with God is. How confident do we feel about coming and chatting with him? How inclined do we feel to do that? Because it will shape how, and perhaps more importantly, if, you come to God. Knowing God's love for you is vital to moving forward in life. Because if you know that someone loves you, then you are far more inclined to come to them, to ask them about all of the things that are going on in your life. And when you are in that space, you are far more likely to listen to their response because you know they have your best interests at heart. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you? But perhaps ironically, I can't tell you that. At least not so that you'll know. Because the only way you are going to know that God loves you is if you come to him and ask him to show you. That is not something you can outsource. That's not something you can get a preacher to engage with for you. That is a decision that you have to make. Will I come before God and ask him to show me his great love for me? But let me tell you that this is a good gift that God wants to give. This sermon forms part of 2 weeks in the middle of this series that have a more practical focus, I suppose, a practical focus on hearing the invitation of God. And so what I want to do now is to focus on a bit of a framework that is not prescriptive, certainly isn't the only way you can engage with this, but is a way, a framework that I think will help us to engage with listening to God in prayer, things that will help us to listen more effectively to him, to listen more widely to what he might be shaping and inviting us into. And perhaps unsurprisingly, this framework is built upon the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is found in Luke 11, as I mentioned earlier, but it is also found a little bit earlier in this section of Scripture in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I invite you to have a look at that now. Chapter 6, verse 9, starting at verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. These are probably fairly familiar words to you. Even if you are right at the beginning of starting your journey following Jesus, you've probably heard these words, encountered them in public events, or seen them written down somewhere. And we can often hurry over familiar words and miss the meaning, miss the invitation within them. But I believe that within these words, we find an invitation to learn to listen to God better, kind of some steps that will help us with that. And by engaging with them, we are actually receiving Jesus' invitation to listen to God. We are inviting Jesus to shape our listening. There's an organization called 24/7 Prayer, and they had an extraordinary impact on me when I was a student, particularly in my Christian faith. And 24/7 Prayer is largely about getting students to commit to pray for in hour-long sessions at all times of the day. And ironically, the middle of the night was the easiest times to fill, but like 7 a.m., not so much. But they were an extraordinary organization started by a chap called Pete Gregg, who basically birthed this organization out of his own prayer life and a vision that God gave him. And it's gone on to do extraordinary things in a heap of countries across the world. And because I love what this organization is about, and I love what Pete Gregg has to say, I always buy his books. And we were on holiday in the UK a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, and so I bought his new book. And I was like, yep, that's Pete Gregg's book, I'll buy that. I bought it, put it in my suitcase, and I haven't read it. But then I started to pray about this sermon this week, and I was reminded of the disciples' question to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that drew me to Luke 11, and I began to read the Lord's Prayer again. And in the midst of the Lord's Prayer, I found myself realizing that there's a few things in there, and also in its version in Matthew 6, that actually shape the way that we listen, shape the way that we might focus on God. It's an invitation in there to focus on things that are easy to forget. And as I began to explore it, I discovered that actually it's a lot of how I pray already. That's a lot of the things that I do when I'm coming to pray for something are kind of instructed, guided to in the Lord's Prayer. And then I went back to Pete's book because I thought, well, I might as well have a look. It is called How to Pray. And maybe he's got something helpful to say about this sermon series. And so I looked and then I discovered that this whole book is built on a framework of how to pray based upon the Lord's Prayer. So this, what I'm about to present now, is a combination of his thoughts and mine. It's not available in Australia yet, but you can buy it on Amazon. It will be available in Coorong by July. We did try to get it for the bookshop. Unfortunately, we couldn't do that in time, but do grab yourself a copy of this. Do order it. It's well worth a read. So I tried to come up with an anagram for this framework because that's the best frameworks have got an anagram for them. Come on, you know that. But I was not very good at it, particularly because my framework started with F for focus, and then the second word was W for worship. For what? There aren't many words that start for what? So Pete nailed it, though. So Pete came up with a great framework, which is pray. P-R-A-Y. Pause, rejoice, ask, yield. Pause, rejoice, ask, yield. So let's take a look at what it means to pray. In verse 9 of this Matthew 6 passage, we see our Father in heaven. And we are invited in that moment to pause and to recognize who it is we are coming before in prayer, to pay attention, to focus on him, to let our gaze be drawn to him. When we encounter a beautiful sunset or an incredible landscape or maybe a piece of art or music that we are just in awe of, it captivates our attention. It causes us to go, wow, and it turns our posture towards that. It invites focus. It invites us to stop and savor that, and savor that moment. Give God attention. And we stop for important conversations with people, don't we? We recognize that moment when a conversation has shifted and we need to put down whatever we were doing and pay attention to that person. And we know what conversations that are a bit distracted look like. We know what the kind of quality of those looks like. We explored that earlier on. Secondly, verse 9b says, "Hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. This is about recognizing the holiness of God, recognizing the glory and the wonder of God as we turn to him in worship. I have a worship track from the late 90s, which many of you would think is awful, but I find it a really helpful step in coming to pray about things because worship orientates us towards God. When we worship God, our gaze is fixed upon him, and we are invited to pay attention, to have our thoughts shaped and transformed by the one that we are engaging with. Worship helps us to fix our eyes upon God, and rejoicing is another word for worship. And it's in that moment that we start to listen now as well. We begin to listen to more of who we know God is in Scripture, who we have read about him to be, the truths of who he is. But we also begin to listen to the faithfulness of God in our past, the ways that God has been with us through eventual situations, through difficult circumstances, through the things, the challenges that we have faced. We're reminded of God's faithfulness in that space. Thirdly, ask. Perhaps oddly, verses 10 and 11, which focus on asking, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." This space here is where it's most essential that we start to listen. That we listen to what God has to say. I think perhaps, as is only possible when you are preparing a sermon, I found myself thinking this week about the Hebridean Revival. And the Hebridean Revival happened in 1949, and the Hebrides are a small group of islands off the north coast of Scotland. And in 1949, the population of the Hebrides would have been in its thousands, a few thousand people living there. And they experienced extraordinary revival. One Sunday, 600 people gathered outside a church because they, purely because they had been compelled by a change of heart towards God. They wanted to know more about Jesus. That evening, 100 more young people joined them, gave up their dance in the village hall because they too wanted to find out more about Jesus. By 4 a.m. in the morning, 400 more people had gathered outside a police station crying out for God's mercy. This was an extraordinary move of the Holy Spirit, of God's invitation to people to come and know more about him. But it was also, I believe, a faithful response to what happened in the 6 weeks running up to that event. 6 weeks earlier, two elderly ladies, aged 82 and 84, both blind, decided to gather to pray twice a week from 10 p.m. until 4 a.m. on their knees, stirred because there were no young people in their church. These elderly ladies caught a picture of what God's kingdom was meant to look like. They realized that God's kingdom was meant to see young and old gathered, celebrating, worshiping him, engaging in life with him. They understood what God's kingdom come in this situation needed to look like, and they recognized the deficit. And seeing that deficit, it stirred them to pray. It led them to their knees to pray, Lord, would your kingdom come and would your will be done in this situation? They asked God to change the reality. When we come to God and ask him for things, he invites us to listen to him about how he wants to see the situation. He invites us to pursue God's kingdom come, to recognize this is what his intention is, and this is the deficit. This is the gap between that and the reality. God invites us to ask him, what is your will in this situation? Not what is happening right here, not just succumbing to, oh, well, that's life, but inviting God's will to be true and to change the situation. And then God invites us to ask him to do that in that space. But the only way we are going to know what God wants for any particular situation is if we come to him in prayer. We ask him, Lord, show us, and then we take time to listen. When we take time to listen to God in prayer, we will see and hear his invitation. When we take time to read the Bible, read more about how God intended life to be, we will hear his invitation. And there is more on that next week as Mark speaks to us about hearing God's invitation through the word. Fourthly and lastly, yield. Verses 12 and 13. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yielding is submitting to God's will. It's listening to God and actually hearing what he has to say, hearing his invitation, recognizing that he is best at having higher authority in our lives and that we have to submit to that, that actually our lives will be so much better when we allow God to be the one on the throne of our hearts. There's one other detail in that story about the Hebridean revival that I didn't mention before. And that is that there was actually one young person in that church, a deacon who was involved in that church. And he joined those two old ladies for their prayer meetings after week one, I think. And stirred by reading Psalm 24, which says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can enter God's presence? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. He asked God, do I have clean hands? And so humbled by God's response to him, he fell to his knees and he was prompted to ask God for forgiveness. And asking God's forgiveness for the things that we do in our lives that are not as God would have us do, where things that he didn't intend for us to engage in, helps us to live under God's rule. And this is not under the rule of some smitey, angry, distant, judgmental dictator, but this is under the rule of God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who is our good Father, and whose desire for us is to give us the very best of gifts. When we ask God's forgiveness for when we've wandered far from him, we are inviting God to show us his love. And we are putting ourselves in a posture where we can receive that. But yielding is also about continuing to hear God's invitation, to declare that his ways are better than ours. And that we not only need God to invite us into plans and purposes, but that we also need to hear his sustaining words of encouragement in that space. As I come in to land, you can start to pray, to pause, to rejoice, to ask, to yield, wherever you are at on your journey following Jesus. There's no qualifications necessary to do that. It's not for spiritual elites. It's not reserved for other people. This is an invitation for all of us. It's engagement with our Father in heaven, our good and perfect Father, who desires to give us good gifts. And let's keep on learning. One summer, a few years ago, I had an extraordinarily powerful experience engaging with God. A time where God really opened my eyes to see him and to hear from him in a refreshed, a renewed, an exciting way. And it significantly impacted my life at the time, but who I am, the trajectory of my life from now on. And in that time, God spoke to me more clearly. He helped move me into a place of being able to hear more clearly what it meant for God's kingdom to come in the lives of other people. And for a whole summer afterwards, I basically ended up praying for everyone I bumped into, within reason. I found myself asking, God, what does it mean for your kingdom come in this person's life? How will that change that situation? And I have lost my way on this. And this message, preparing for this message, has served as a reminder to me to not stop listening. Don't give up listening to God. And don't reminisce about the glory days when you really sensed a new God and your prayer life was active. God is inviting us to engage with him every day, to live today, thankful for the past, yes, but looking to the future. How can you use me today? Where are you inviting me today? What can I hear from you today? How can I pray for this person today? How can I pray for this situation today? Don't stop listening. Don't stop engaging with your perfect Heavenly Father who loves you and who wants to give you good gifts. All of us are invited to seek God in prayer, to focus on him, to engage with him, to pause and be captivated by him, to rejoice, to worship, and then to ask him things, to ask him, your kingdom come, your will be done in this situation, and then to yield to his response and to say, I will go, where you are leading me. Let's not stop learning to listen to God. Amen.
Learning to listen in prayer is as simple as beginning to P-R-A-Y. Pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. Commit yourself this week to learning to listen to God in order that you might better hear his invitation to join in his work in the world. As always, we'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to the invitation of God. You can find us on Facebook or visit our website at gamiabaptist.org.au. May your eyes and ears be open and your heart soft to the invitation of the Spirit to join in God's renewing work in Jesus. God bless.